السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal for the many favors and boons that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us, and salutations upon the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respected brothers, once again to reiterate what Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Rawat had said, that the purpose of today's gathering is not that we together in such a situation, or to honor or to commemorate or to remember the memories of a great person who had passed on, is in any way a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we are doing so for the intention of drawing from the lessons and to draw inspiration from this great life and this legacy that has been left behind. And we hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us some aspect of the life and the sincerity and the qualities of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab. We also keep in mind that each and every person comes here in this world with a limited lifespan. And this is a reality. Someone had said that the tax of being in existence is that you have to leave and depart from this world one day. The fact that you have come into this world, the tax of coming into this world is that you have to leave and depart from this world. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that there is no calamity after the death of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is greater than that calamity. There can be no calamity after the death of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam greater than the departure of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this world. And one of course can remember and think about this, and of course there is so much lesson that we learn from that whole incident. Firstly, we know that the love the Sahaba Ikram had for our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is something that is unique. Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity from time to time to see great people. And during the course of while in Pakistan, I once spent the Ramadan in Faisalabad with Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Anyone who knows the history of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith knows that towards the latter portion of his life, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi should not speak much. He should not give bayans. Earlier stages of his life, he used to give daras, he used to give bayans. But towards the latter stages of his life, even in his majalis, even in this itikaf, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to sit, and there used to be a kitab read. And because of his presence, there should be such great nuraniyat and such great spiritual light in that gathering. Nevertheless, once we had an opportunity to listen to Hazrat Maulana Shaykhul Hadith Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. It was after the itikaf on the Eid morning after Fajr. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, you know, was gathered in the masjid, and the hadith Ma'i wa Tamar was recited. We know the hadith that when it was recited in the gathering of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, water and khajur was there. And because of the love the Ummah had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when that particular hadith is recited, the students of a hadith also try to enact in a small way the environment around that environment when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, related those same words. So then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi just said this few words and he burst out crying. And he said, "Oh people, you know how much love Sahaba had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." And he started crying. And he could not continue, and the next person came to make mention of why we bring this hadith Ma'i wa Tamar, why do we bring and distribute water and khajur when this particular hadith is narrated. Nevertheless, the Sahaba had that much of love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to say that when we used to be tired after a long journey, and when we used to come in the presence of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our tiredness used to evaporate. That was the love that they had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can imagine that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, how grief-stricken the Sahaba were. At such a stage, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that great Umar, such a great personality, he stood on the minbar and he told the people, and he said, "Whoever says that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, I will strike off his neck." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is gone for a short while. The way Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to go and fetch the wahi. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is gone away for a short while. It was at that time a person who had the greatest love, whom Allah Ta'ala had granted istiqamat, who had granted him steadfastness. And many a times is the people who have the greatest amount of love, who display these type of tendencies and qualities. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes, he was gone out of Medina, comes into Masjid al-Nabawi, goes into the room where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is lying, and he kissed Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's forehead saying, Tibta hayya wa mayita. You are Mubarak in while you are alive and after you have passed on. You are Mubarak at all times. And then he comes into the Masjid al-Nabawi and he sees the scene. Brothers, do you know Umar radiallahu ta'ala's personality? Subhanallah. Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala, I think it was most probably Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala. One day went into the company of, and in the presence of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he came back, came out of the gathering, he was perspiring. Someone said, what is the reason for this? So he said, the presence of Umar. The presence of Umar. And the same presence of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that one day, you know, a group of young, the children were singing poetry, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, they continued doing so. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came, they continued doing so. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, they started fleeing in different directions. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, what is wrong with you? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr were greater than me, and in their presence you continued singing poetry. And when I came, you fled. What is this injustice that you have done? And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Umar, leave them alone, leave them alone. For when you come into a street and you take one direction, Shaitan also takes another direction. Shaitan also takes another direction. So this was the personality of Umar standing on the minbar and telling people this. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came and he told the people and he read those ayats, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. That Muhammad is the Rasul of Almighty Allah. Before Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ. If Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passes on, or if he is killed, are you going to turn away from religion? And he uttered those famous words, that whosoever worships Muhammad, then let him know that Muhammad has passed on. But whosoever worships Allah, let him be fully aware that Allah Ta'ala is Hayyul La Yamut. He is everlasting, he will remain forever. Death never overtakes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that time Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, my knees started shaking. My knees gave way. And the realization came that definitely Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed on. So death is always for us to remember that, you know, no matter what the situation, deen will always remain alive. Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi alayhi, when he used to get up for tahajjud, he used to remember Allah Ta'ala with these words and he used to say, oh Allah, the courts of the rulers of the world are closed. The qazis have stopped giving and have stopped dispensing with justice at this hour of the morning. But you are Hayyul La Yamut. Oh Allah, you are alive and you will remain forever. We always keep that perspective in mind. However, as we said, that Hazrat Maulana's passing away, in many ways we don't, while of course there is sorrow for us, but in terms of Hazrat Maulana himself, given the way Hazrat Maulana passed away, keeping in mind the hadith, كَمَا تُحْيُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تُمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ, that the way you love, that's the way you will die. Wallahi, my dear respected brothers, there's an English saying that you love by the sword, you die by the sword. Wallahi al-Azim, in this way it was, look at the positive. The way a person, his sincerity, his ikhlas, his ta'alluq with Allah, Allah Ta'ala manifested that in the way he had passed on. So in all likelihood, Hazrat Maulana is in a greater bliss than the life that he led in this world. He is in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sorrow and the regret is more for us. People like you and I who used to draw inspiration when Hazrat Maulana used to speak. Wallahi al-Azim, there was a kashish. And there was an attraction when you wanted to go to Durban. And that was it. During the course of whatever we go, we're going to meet Hazrat Maulana Yunusab. But even if we don't go to his home, normally his love used to be such that if he knew you were there in Durban, he would insist to the host or whoever you are with, that bring them for some time to their house. But even if you didn't do that, you said, well, we'll go to Melanson Masjid. We'll go to Melanson, we'll go to Masjid An-Nur. After the Salat, we'll go and meet Hazrat Maulana Yusuf. So there was an attraction in Durban. And we know that we have been left in a way, we are more in a more a worse position than Hazrat Maulana Yunusab in this particular way. Because we will be feeling the loss of Hazrat Maulana Yunusab in a great way. So in this particular way, we always keep this perspective in mind. And then of course, when we talk about Hazrat Maulana, there were many, many, many remarkable qualities that we bring in our life. One recalls this Arabic poem, أَنَا وَحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَأَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرَزُقُنِي سَلَاهَا. I love the pious, although I am not amongst them. Maybe because of my love for them, Allah will resurrect me and Allah will bring them with me on the day of Qiyamah. I love the pious people. And wallahi, my dear respect of us, if we can't do anything, we should all strive to become good. Deen is not the exclusive domain of anyone. Deen is for everyone. And each and everyone must strive to become muttaqi. Today we have this particular situation when someone tells us about leading a life of piety and righteousness. Many a times we turn around and say, but this is all heavy things, man. Don't tell me heavy things. I'm an ordinary person. One doesn't know whether we are saying that out of humility or out of justifying our life of desires. Deen and taqwa is for everyone to strive towards, not only the pious people. Since when are we, you know, independent of striving towards taqwa and piety? So each and everyone must strive towards it. But if we acknowledge our weakness and our shortcomings, and we say, oh Allah, I love the pious people, even if I might not be with them due to my shortcomings, and maybe because of my love for them, Allah Ta'ala will resurrect me, and Allah Ta'ala will bring me with them. One of the remarkable attributes of Maulana and this is of great importance in this age that you and I are living in. We are living in an age, my dear respect brothers, which is an age of selfishness. They say the trinity of the age that you and I are living in is me, myself and I. Everyone is only worried about himself. In such a situation, Hazrat Maulana's humility and selflessness shines out as a great inspiration and lesson for us to inculcate in our life. How many people have made mention with regard to it? Yesterday, a young alim, you know, also one of our colleagues made mention, and he said that he was traveling with Hazrat Maulana by air from Joburg to Durban. When they landed, he had already made arrangement for someone to pick him up. So Maulana asked him, is your arrangements for the traveling to go to Durban have been taken care of? He said, yes, it's been taken care of. Maulana, you don't worry, you carry on. And the person who is supposed to fetch me has told me that when he comes, he'll give me a call and I will go and meet him outside. So without him having to park, without him having to have the inconvenience of parking somewhere, I will go and meet him and he will pick me up. So Maulana tells me, he said, Maulana Yunusab went out. But he said, while he was going out on the street, he saw the person who was supposed to come pick me up. He was there. He said, he came running inside the terminal building. He came running in and said, Hazrat Maulana, your person who has come to pick you up has come. Come outside. That type of humility and selflessness for a person who was so great is absolutely unique. And you know, that one of the aspects that is always the sign and the hallmark of a great person is, he makes each and every person sound important. This is a unique hallmark of anyone. How many times you used to go and you tell him, Maulana, make dua for us, always keep on your dua. And his stock answer used to be, you are always in our dua. Subhanallah, we used to think, where are our situation and where is it? Maulana used to say, you are always in my dua. How many times I've heard this from him? And maybe Allah Ta'ala make it sure that becomes the means of our salvation. This is one of the remarkable attributes of a person, that he makes each and everyone feels important. Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, one day came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, who is the closest sahabi to you? Who is the closest among the sahaba to you? Now, before Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the answer, but for us to realize, the ulama tell us, what was the reason for him to ask that question? The reason for him to ask that question was that every sahabi felt that he was closest to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, there was a religious dimension attached to the question and to the answer. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to answer and said, Abu Bakr is closest towards me. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was to follow Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the first khalifa. But just look at why he asked the question. Our ulama tell us that the reason he asked this question, every sahabi felt I was the closest to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, with his grandson, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, on his back. And our grandparents sometimes play around with their grandchildren, you know, taking him on his back. And as, He was going, Sahabi passed by and told Hazrat Hussein, you are so lucky, you have such a Mubarak and blessed mount. You are on the shoulder of your grandfather, but he is also the Nabi of this Ummah, the greatest person of Allah Ta'ala's creation. So immediately Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, he might have had a Mubarak and blessed mount, but look at what a blessed rider I got on my back. He made even his grandson feel important. A grandson also feel, look at what a Mubarak and blessed. This was one of the qualities of Hazrat Mawlana, taken from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was listening to the radio, and one of the incidents that struck me, when he said that once he had to give a talk in Azadville, and he was not well. He was not well at all. The doctors told him not to go. His family said not to go. And Hazrat Mawlana's answer was this. He said, the announcement has been made. Hundreds of people will come. And what happens if the message doesn't reach the people who might have to make long suffer to come? And they would come and they will feel disappointed. Rather one person makes the taklif of going rather than other people having taklif. This was a remarkable attribute of Hazrat Mawlana, his humility and his selflessness. It shines through for us to draw lessons from. Another remarkable attribute of Hazrat Mawlana was, Mawlana always used to give good advice. Wallahi Lazim, even the people who used to have certain times reservation, difference of opinion, they said many a times things in their lifetime with regard to Hazrat Mawlana, maybe very unjustly. But despite that, when they used to come, subhanallah, for advice, Mawlana used to give them the best advice possible for their benefit. After all, deen is ad-deenun nasiha, brothers. This aspect, deen is well-wishing for everyone. Even those people whom you might not be on good terms with, deen is to be good to them also. This was Hazrat Mawlana, subhanallah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith was al-mustasharu mu'taminun. When someone come and ask you for advice, then give the best advice for that person. One day someone came to ask Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh in Tanabawan, you know, he wanted to sell his land. Now Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh's family were also people who were land owners, so they wanted to purchase that land. But when that person came to ask Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh for advice whether to sell the land or not, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh told him and said that in this time of turbulence, at the time of partition, it is not wise for you to sell your land, don't sell your land. Even though the family of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh were interested in purchasing that land. This was one of the remarkable attributes of Hazrat Mawlana. He always had good words for people who came to him for advice. And anyone, his door was open for anyone with regard to advice, asking for advice, either whatever your predicament, you go to Mawlana. Mawlana always had the best words possible. To such an extent was his magnanimity and was his wus'at. Subhanallah, yesterday I was listening to one of his very close colleagues making mention. He said, someone had written an abusive letter to Hazrat Mawlana, in which he had criticized Mawlana also unjustly. You had done this and you had done that. Most of it were unfounded. So he said, Hazrat Mawlana didn't feel offended. He wrote back and he told the person, the Kharim, to write back and said, I have taken note of your complaints and of my shortcomings. I will try to rectify it. I will try and rectify it. Subhanallah. Reminds you of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, one of our great elders. When, you know, there used to be an alim of that time who used to write, you know, against Hazrat Mawlana. And the students of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi didn't have the courage to recite those or to read those letters, especially towards the latter portion of Mawlana's life. But at that time, you know that Mawlana could not read, so he used to depend upon his khuddam to read the letters. So Mawlana one day asked, that letters used to come, why is it that it has stopped? So one of the students said, Hazrat, we don't have the courage to read those letters in front of you, because there is so much abuse, there is so much of disrespect. So Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh said, that no, recite and read those letters to me. Perhaps there might be some fault or shortcomings of mine that I will rectify, which he had maybe indicated in the letters. Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayh gave an example with regard to this. Another remarkable aspect with regard, and you know, brothers, this is a fact of human history. You know, those people who have this wus'at, this accommodation, this broad-mindedness, they will always remain in the hearts and minds of people. Petty-minded people will always be thrown into the dustbins of human history. For a little while, people who are petty-minded, people will listen to their pettiness. Wallahi lazim, after a while, no one will start listening to them. They will always be put into the dustbins of human history. Look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's magnanimity. Subhanallah, the woman who chewed the liver of his beloved uncle. You know, she chewed the liver of his beloved uncle. And some ulama say, perhaps that is the reason why she became a Muslim. Perhaps that is the reason why she became a Muslim. The blood of such a Mubarak person could never have entered into the bloodstream of someone without having a positive impact. You know, but be as it may, that woman Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave. That woman Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in conversation. And there, the whole example is in front of us in the books of human, in the books of Sirah. We will not go into it. But this aspect, that people who have wusat, people who have this broad-mindedness, they will always remain in the hearts of minds of people. People who are petty-minded will always be thrown into the garbage of human history. Nevertheless, another aspect with regard to other Maulana, I will conclude with this. There are many aspects, and I'm sure the other distinguished speakers will throw greater light on this. One was his akhlaq and conduct. Subhanallah, my dear respected brothers. What remarkable conduct. Now, of course, we have heard, and we have heard the emails, and we have heard it being made mention of as an ideal, but many people would have said that this is something that you talk about, it cannot be put into practice. That, you know, the domestics who are working for you, your employees who are non-Muslims, surely your conduct should be of such a nature. Nabi Akram s.a.w.'s conduct was of such a nature, that enemies accepted Islam by his conduct. Now here there are people who are working for us, they were domestics, and they're working for us for so many years, and they have no positive, you have no positive impact upon them through the means of your conduct which Islam has taught. Hazrat Maulana, through the means of his conduct, has shown there was not a domestic that remained in the house of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab without accepting Islam. This is the conduct. How many times we have heard our ulama telling us that, brothers, your ibadat is between you and Allah Ta'ala. To a non-Muslim, Islam is as good or as bad as the way you behave to him. Many a time the Muslim, a non-Muslim doesn't have the time to go and read the finer details of Islam or the fiqh or the theological details. He makes up his mind about Islam on the basis of how you and I we treat him or you and I interact with him. That is how. And we, how many times our ulama have told us that your ibadat is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one is going to come and see, you know, your ibadat, how you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What people are going to see is your conduct. What people are going to see is your interaction with them. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali gave this practical example of this. Conduct was such that brought people towards Islam. Subhanallah. We read in the books and we read in Fazail Amal, and many times people feel, by those with the Sahaba, where can we bring it? I just read, you know, in this particular situation where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went out with his wife, came to know of a baddu whose wife was in pregnancy and whose wife was giving birth, conceiving, and took his wife to go and make khidmat of that ordinary villager. Here we read in the email, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab, many a times when the employee was in the state of pregnancy and about to give birth, Hazrat Maulana together with his wife is going to the hospital to see that the domestics' birth is taken care of. And that not only something that we read in the books, here is something that can be manifested. And Hazrat Maulana was a Jamiul Kamalat, subhanallah. Everyone, Maulana Suleiman Rawat had so beautifully made mention, whether it be the Jamaat al-Tabligh, when Hazrat Maulana used to be with, you know, by Padia Rahmatullah Ali, and this one we have heard it so many times from him himself when he spoke to the younger ulama, subhanallah, in the Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, had done a process where we've asked the elder ulama to come speak to the younger ulama to see how they challenges that they faced. And in there he made mention how he went out with Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, and for 2 hours he used to hear Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali crying for the ummat. You know. And this was with Jamaat, with Tasawwuf, Tasneef, Ta'alif, you know, Zikr, whether it be Waaz, Nasihat, organizational skills, all of that, Ajami'ul Kamalat, everyone felt comfortable in the company of that Maulana Yunus Sahab. Really, this is a remarkable attribute of him. And this is something that we learn from him. As I've said, I will just conclude myself with these few remarkable qualities of Hazrat Maulana. And we always, you know, it has been said that when the sun sets, then the stars come out. When the sun sets, the stars come out. Now, of course, we know Hazrat Maulana, he was a remarkable personality. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala further elevate his status. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala, the legacy and the teachings that he had left behind in the form of his remarkable, beautiful nasihat and advises, that remains within us, we can put it into practice. You know, but of course we should never adopt this attitude. Never adopt this attitude that Maulana is gone now, what must we do? There is no one that we can turn to. Keep in mind, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful people. Our ulama tell us that when Allah Ta'ala has given us the command, be with the truthful, there will always be truthful people for us to remain in their company till the day of Qiyamah. So even when the sun set, there will always be someone. Deen will always remain alive. And keep in mind the ulama, the true ulama, they are the salt of the earth. The way previously people used to use salt to preserve things, Allah Ta'ala uses the ulama to preserve the deen. Many ways the ulama are like the flags of a country. You know, you see the flag of a country. And you say it's only a cloth, but the flag represents a country. In such a way, the ulama are those who represent the deen. And that is something that we always got to keep in mind. We should search out for those people who are the true ulama and be in their company so that we can be inspired. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such. Allah Ta'ala grant Hazrat Maulana Yunusab a very high and elevated state in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala forgive his shortcomings. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala keep his inspiration alive within us and especially the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.